I was kind of mean because there is another announcement to be made, and I didn't give it to our dear brother. And if you coax me, I'll give it to you now. It's an announcement that I know will be received with much joy. A year ago, I was asked to come here and given the extreme honor of being a substitute for Tiernis Wilson. Maybe it would be better if I said a counterfeit. But after much persuasion and pleading and cajoling, Mr. Wilson has agreed to bring us the ministry tomorrow, in the morning and in the evening. And I'm sure that we will be all pleased with that decision. I will have the closing devotion on Friday morning. Tonight I'd like to turn for just one verse of scripture in John's Gospel, chapter 18. And as all of us who have been here are aware, we've been looking at the subject in general of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And we have taken in the extent, the scope, the power of the gospel, and we have taken in some of the blessed scenes around Calvary. We'll continue tonight with this first verse of John's Gospel, chapter 18. When Jesus had spoken these words, He went forth with His disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden, into the which He entered with His disciples. As we look at the Word of God, it is good for us to look at it with inquiring minds, not doubting minds, but inquiring minds. Asking ourselves, why is this there and why is this something not there? And I think perhaps the classic example of all of this is the four Gospels. We have four different accounts given to us of the life and the ministry and the resurrection and ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew's Gospel, as we're well aware, and in Luke's Gospel, we have the genealogy of the Lord Jesus. One, because a king must have his genealogy in order to reign. And then in Luke's Gospel, he's the Son of Man, and he is traced back to the first Adam. In Mark's Gospel, there is no genealogy because a servant is not required to produce his genealogy. You never ask a servant whom you hire whether or not he has arrived in or his ancestors came over in the Mayflower or anything else of that sort. You're looking for recommendation or commendation. And God gave that to His beloved Son, did He not, at the River Jordan. And then in John's Gospel, we do not have a genealogy because John is speaking of the Eternal One, in whom there is, of whom there is no beginning. In the beginning was the Word. Whenever that beginning was, stretch your imagination, as Alfred Gibbs used to say, to the utmost stretchability of its stretchiness, and you haven't reached the beginning. But whenever that beginning was, the Lord was there. It's interesting, too, in those Gospels to inquire certain things. For instance, in Matthew's Gospel, as we come to the end of these Gospels, in Matthew's Gospel, there is no reference to His ascension. In Mark's Gospel, there is. In Luke's Gospel, there is. In John's Gospel, there is not. Why? These are good things to ask ourselves. And then to ask the Holy Spirit to lead us in finding out the beauty and the makeup of God's precious eternal word, because we must never forget, and I think it's good for us to remember every time we open and handle the word of God, that this is the eternal word of God. It's established forever in heaven, and it should be more necessary to us than our daily food. You might think by looking at me, well, who's talking? But this is how we should approach, and our attitude should be to the Word of God, inquiring and finding out what is the meaning of this and that and the other. Matthew doesn't give us any record of his ascension because the king is in his glory at all times. John doesn't give us any record of his ascension because the Son of God has access to the Father's presence at all times. As someone has said, the Lord Jesus came out from the bosom of the Father without ever leaving it. That's precious. I and my Father are one, they said. But in Mark's gospel, we have his ascension. And it's put in such beautiful terms. He was received up into glory. He was received up into glory. In other words, he would not be denied his ascension to glory. Not that anybody in heaven wanted to. But as a servant who had done everything that his Father had given him to do, he was received up. Luke's gospel is very precious too in this connection. He writes of his ascension, and he's writing of the Son of Man. And he said he was carried up. Isn't that lovely? He was carried up into the presence of God. Some long time ago, I was reading these words that we have read here tonight. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron. And I wondered why the Spirit of God told us by what means and what route he left the city. Would it not have just been as clear to say that the Lord Jesus left the city and went to a place where there was a garden? But he doesn't say that. He gives us the passageway. He gives us the route. He says he went over the brook Kidron. Kidron has a long history if you trace it throughout the Word of God. Secular history tells us that at one time, the River Kidron was a fast-flowing river that had cut a 40-foot gorge into its riverbed. But when the Lord Jesus Christ was here, it was hardly more than a trickling brook. What is the history of Kidron? Jeremiah tells us, he describes it as the place for dead bodies and ashes. In other words, it was a dumping ground for that which was not acceptable in the confines of the cities. Hezekiah, or rather Asa, in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, Asa looked to God, and God blessed, and Asa had a revival. And they went into the temple, and they cleaned it out. And what a mess it was. Day after day, they cleansed the temple. They carried out all the clutter and all the litter that gathered there. You know how it is sometimes in our chapels and buildings. we have to clean out once in a while. People leave stuff there that they don't need anymore. An old table, an old chair, an old bureau, and suddenly you find that you've got all kinds of litter and trash there that you don't need. This was not that kind of trash. This was the abomination of idols that the people had brought in. And it took them a long time to cleanse the temple. And where did they take all this junk? They took it and dumped it in the Valley of Kidron. Some 200 years later, Hezekiah went through the same thing. And he came and he cleansed the temple, and they carried all of the things that were dishonoring to God and that cluttered the house of God, and they dumped them in the Valley of Kidron. And then 100 more years later, Josiah had his revival. And he did the same thing. Under his direction, the temple was cleansed, and all of the trash was dumped in the Valley of Kidron. So much for what it is and what it was, the Valley of Dead Bodies and Ashes. Now will you turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 15. 2 Samuel chapter 15. This is the story of Absalom and David. Absalom, that narcissistic young man who thought that the world owed him a living and that everything should come his way, even his father's throne. And so Absalom stole the hearts of the people, gathered together an army, and drove his father out of the city where he dwelt. On his way, there were loyal men and women who came to his support, and they said, if you're willing to stay and fight, we're willing to back you all the way. And in chapter 15 of 2 Corinthians, verse 19, then said the king to Ittai the Gittite, wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place and abide with the king, for thou art a stranger and also an exile. Whereas thou camest but yesterday, should I this day make thee go up and down with us? Seeing I go whither I may, return thou and take thy brethren, and mercy and truth be with thee. And Ittai said, as the Lord liveth, and as my Lord the King liveth, surely in what place my Lord the King shall be, whether in death or life, even there will also thy servant be. David said to Ittai, go and pass over. And Ittai the Gittite passed over, and all the men and all the little ones that were with him. David said in verse 25, the king said unto Zadok, carry back the ark of God into the city. If I shall find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me again and show me both it and his habitation. But if he thus say, I have no delight in thee, behold, here am I. Let him do to me as seemeth good to him. Now go back to verse 23. And all the country wept with a loud voice, and all the people passed over. The king also himself passed over the brook Kidron. David here is in rejection by his own family, his own son. He leaves the city and in commitment to the will of God. He surrenders to whatever it is that God will do for him. If he is going to bring me back, he'll bring me back. If he is not, so be it. And in so doing, and of his own free will, he passes over the brook Kidron. Let's turn to 2 Samuel chapter 16. King David came to Bahurim, verse 5. Behold, thence came out of a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David and at all the servants of King David and all the people and all the mighty men that were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, thou man of Belial. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. Then said Abishai the son of Zeruiah unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. And the king said, what have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, behold, my son, which came forth out of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone, and let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction, and that the Lord will requite me this day for his cursing. And as David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along on the hillside over against him and cursed as he went and threw stones at him and cast dust. Now let's go to 1 Kings chapter 2. 1 Kings chapter 2. We'll read verse 28, or rather verse 8. David is now, as the first verse of this chapter says, the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged his son Solomon, saying, I go the way of all the earth, be thou strong therefore, and show thyself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, and so forth. Verse 5, he says, moreover, thou knowest also that Job the son of Zeruiah did to me. And also he goes down, verse 8, and behold, thou hast with thee Shimei, the son of Gera, a Benjamite of Bahurim, which cursed me with a grievous curse in the day when I went to Mahanaim. But he came down to meet me at Jordan, and I swear to him by the Lord, saying, I will not put thee to death with the sword. Now therefore hold him not guiltless, for thou art a wise man, and knowest what thou oughtest to do unto him. But his forehead bring thou down to the grave with blood. And then on verse 36, the king, that is Solomon, sent and called for Shimei and said unto him, build thee an house in Jerusalem and dwell there and go not forth thence anywhither. For it shall be that on the day thou goest out and passest over the brook Kidron, thou shalt know for certain that thou shalt surely die. Thy blood shall be upon thine own head. And Shimei said unto the king, the saying is good, as my lord the king hath said, so will thy servant do. And Shimei dwelt in Jerusalem many days. And it came to pass at the end of 3 years, the two of the servants of Shimei ran away unto Achish, son of Maacah, king of Gath. And they told Shimei, saying, behold, thy servants be in Gath. And Shimei arose and saddled his ass and went to Gath to Achish to seek his servants. And Shimei went and brought his servants from Gath. And it was told Solomon that Shimei had gone from Jerusalem to Gath and was come again. And the king sent and called for Shimei and said to him, did I not make thee swear by the Lord and protested unto thee, saying, know for a certain on the day that thou goest out and walkest abroad anywhere, that thou shalt surely die. And thou saidst unto me, the word that I have heard is good. Why then hast thou not kept the oath of the Lord and the commandment that I have charged thee? And the king said moreover to Shimei, thou knowest all the wickedness which thy heart is privy to, that thou didst to my father David my father. Therefore the Lord shall return thy wickedness upon thy head. And King Solomon shall be blessed, and the throne of David shall be established forever before the Lord. So the king commanded Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, which went out and fell upon him, that he died. And the kingdom was established in the hand of Solomon. We have two men that passed over the brook Kidron. One of them was David. He passed over the brook Kidron in absolute and total commitment to the will of God. The other man was Shimei. He went over the brook Kidron, wasn't in total commitment to God. It was the greed of his heart that drove him over the brook Kidron, and for it he died. Now let's go back to verse 1 of chapter 18 of John's Gospel. When Jesus had said these things, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden, into which he entered and his disciples. This morning we were looking at the scene of the cross as Mary looked at it, his mother, and as John looked at it, and as his Aunt Mary, the wife of Cleophas, looked at it, and as Mary Magdalene looked at it. The scene was one of complete sorrow, and yet love and grace and kindness and sympathy and compassion. The Lord Jesus crosses the brook Kidron voluntarily, even as David did, committing himself completely to the will of God. David said, if he delight in me, he'll bring me back. And this was the thing that they cast in our Lord's teeth, wasn't it, at Calvary's cross. Let him be. He said, the Lord delights in him. Let us see if he delights in him. The Lord Jesus must have been very conscious of the history of Kidron as he passed over it that night. He must have been very conscious of the fact that all of those things that had displeased God had been dumped there. All of the sins of the nation had been dumped there. And he is now passing over Kidron, and he is accepting the full weight of the responsibility of that which was amassed in the valley of Kidron. David said, if he delights on me, he'll bring me back. Did he delight in him? God the Father was never more delighted in his Son than when he offered himself by the eternal Spirit without spot to God. And yet he knew everything that was going to befall him. Did God delight in him? Oh God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God had to abandon the sin offering. But God never abandoned his Son. He delighted in him. And so as he crosses the brook Kidron that night, he must have been very conscious of the fact that he was going to be made sin for us. He who knew no sin, so that we might be made the righteousness of God. What a place is Calvary. What a place is Gethsemane. What a place is Kedron. Let us think of these things as we go about our daily occupation, that we might not for one moment forget the fact that what we are and all that we ever hope to be is by divine grace. It's by Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And as we said the other evening in repeating that lovely hymn, Jesus, keep me near the cross. If we stay near the cross, our hearts will be tender. If we stay near the cross, our hearts will be pliable. God wrote the law on hard, unflinching tables of stone. But He wants to write the law of His love in the fleshy tables of our hearts. And how is He going to do that if our hearts get cold and hard? And so we need to stay near the cross. It'll keep our hearts soft. It'll keep our hearts warm. It'll keep our hearts responsive. It'll keep our hearts affectionate toward each other and to the one who loved us and gave Himself for us. Shall we pray? Our God and Father, again we bless Thee for the record of Thy word, for these words that are so poignant, that after these things our Lord Jesus went over the brook Kidron, assuming all the guilt, not only of Israel, but the guilt of all the human race. Conscious, completely committed to carrying out Thy divine purpose, well knowing that He was going to be made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. O blessed God, receive our worship and praise as we offer it in the precious name of the Son of Thy love, the One who loved us and gave Himself for us. Cause us never to stray far from the cross. Cause us constantly to be reminding our own spirits that the Son of God loved me and gave Himself for me. We give Thee thanks for these things. Help us to enter into the good of them, to enjoy them, and then to live as becometh the saints of God. We ask these favors as we worship Thee in His holy and precious name.